Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? We got a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Don Fry. Mayhem should be joining us. Terrence McKinney. It's going to be a great show. I'm here with the legend, the badass. Whenever like a video of like, this is what real men were like, it's always Don Fry. It's always Don Fry, which is great, man. It could be worse.
Man, my ex-wife would dispute that fact. You know?
When did you know, Don, that it wasn't going to work with your ex-wife?
Oh, when I caught her fucking a guy. Yeah, it pretty much sums it up. Man.
That's crazy. You caught her like in the act, or you just heard she, or you found out her phone records, or how did you?
No, I figured it out. You know, I heard some phone conversations, read some emails. You know, and I caught him kissing after lunch. You know, one day she drove him to drop him off, and I was behind him in a friend's vehicle. They didn't recognize. You know. So, pretty simple.
Did you threaten the guy?
No, I looked at him, you know, I let her go away. And then, you know, while he was walking, he turned around and because my truck and I stopped, I was up there staring at him and he ran in real fast.
That's crazy. I mean, what an idiot. What balls? First of all, doesn't he know that, like, that's your girl? I mean, he must have been scared.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, it's a nice feather in his cap, you know? I mean, one, she had a great body. No, a black heart and no soul, but she had a great body. And just a rotten slut. And, you know, it was a feather in the cap, like I said, but it's a good time for him. I mean, as long as he didn't get caught. And unfortunately for him, he got caught, but nothing happened, you know.
Was he married too?
No. He was divorced because he had went to prison for a couple of doobies, you know. And I said, oh, so you hated that I drink, but this asshole's going to went to prison for a couple of doobies. Oh, how's that work out? I'm not doing anything. I'm not, we're just friends. Okay. I caught you. You know?
That sucks. I mean, look, hey, at least you didn't, you know, grow older and, like, you know, wait, and then, like, then find out, you know? At least you found out when you were young.
Right. You know, and then hurting or killing the guy, you know, attacking him, killing him, what have you, hurting him, wasn't worth it because I'd be in prison and he'd be out banging those slut, you know, so.
Yeah. That's true, man. Well, I just
not worth it.
Well, I'm so exhausted. I've been watching. My daughter has camp next week, and her school ended 2 weeks ago. So I'm like, oh, I'll just watch her every day, you know. And man, like, it's just one thing, because I make everything into a game. You know, everything is fun, but then, like, you know, daddy, let's play Barbie. But then I'm playing for 8 hours, 9 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, you know, time for your bath. I give her a bath and I make that fun because I like play with all her toys in the bathtub. And then it's like, okay. And it's like, all right, I got to dry you up. So I put her under this like burrito into the thing. And then I go, oh, time to make the burrito. I put some chicken in there. And then she pretends she's a mouse eating the food. And then she throws it up. And then I got to lift her up 5 times. And then it's like, all right, put your pajamas on. And so that's another game. And then it's like, time to brush your teeth. And we play Toothbrush Idol, where I got all her toothbrushes, like, compete to who could brush her teeth. But I don't want to, like, you know, do the same thing over I did last night. So I got to make it new every single day. It's just, and then it's like, daddy, be funny. Daddy, make me laugh. Daddy. But I get, like being a parent, like the days are long, the years are short,
Right, right. Absolutely. You gotta enjoy them, man. You gotta enjoy them. Just like spending time with your parents. You got to, because one day they're gonna be gone.
Yeah. 100%. I did a show last week at this like weed dispensary. It's like everyone gets high, but before the show, they have different stations, like 15 different stations of like, this one's selling or just giving away marijuana sex edibles, and this one's taking bong hits, and then you could take dabs here, and then you could have this. So this guy gave me before my show, he's like, oh, you got to try this weed coffee edible. It'll get your mind going, and you'll be able to think faster than you ever did. Take a shot. So I did a shot. Don, I didn't even know where I was on stage. Like, I got on stage, and I didn't know where I was. Like I was doing my act. At the same time, it was like in fast motion and in slow motion. I forgot. I'm looking at the crowd. I'm like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I don't know what the fuck I took. It was like in like some kind of weird warp speed. But it was a fun set. I think I did well. I have no idea. and then
neither does the audience, too.
Then I flew to New York to do Gutfeld. I flew Sunday. You get the topics on Monday. They give you like six different news articles, or four different articles, five different topics. And then it's just like, go, I have like 4 hours to write jokes and come up with things. And it was cool, cause I worked with my buddy, Dave Rubin. And, 25 years ago, me and Dave started a comedy show together. We were giving out flyers in New York City, like in the middle of Times Square, begging everyone to come. Hey man, got a great comedy show. We got guys from MTV, HBO, comedy. Meanwhile, it was us. So people would come and just see us. I feel like I'm talking to nobody. Don's doing his steps right now. So then people would. So me and Dave started this comedy show in New York City at Joe Franklin. We built a stage in my apartment. And then Dave went on to be this like huge conservative. Like, well, he calls himself a classically liberal thinker. He opens up for like Ben Shapiro and whatever that the doctor, the guy from Canada. What I'm talking about, the teacher.
Yeah.
And he's doing really well. So it was really cool.
Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson.
I love that guy, man. He's great. Love that guy.
Me too. Shit
together.
Yeah. So Dave opens up for him. And it was cool seeing Dave again. Like, I hadn't seen him in 10 years, and it was like we never left. So that was really cool. Did you watch the fights at all?
No, I did not. Shit, what the hell was that? I don't even remember what I was doing on Saturday. I think I was in San Antonio.
Oh, nice. What were you doing there?
They interviewed me and a bunch of other fighters for Dark Side of the Cage, looking into the old Pride Fighting Championships.
Oh, that's cool. So now they're doing Dark Side of the Cage, like it used to be Dark Side of the Ring. They had Dark Side of Comedy. Now they're doing Dark Side of the Cage.
Yeah. Oh, right, right.
Wow, dude. I can't get enough of those Dark Side of the Rings. I think I've watched every single one.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of them. What's funny is the next day, either that night or next day, I was at a bar, having a couple of drinks, and this young fireman comes up to me and I said, Don Fry, I see you. What are you doing here in town? I said, well, come get interviewed about Pride Fighting Championships. Says, oh, he looks, oh, but I don't agree with that stuff, but if that's your thing, go for it. And I said, no, Pride Fighting Championship.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Fucking Pride.
So he thought you were in there for like you were gay?
Yeah. He went out when I was walking over to the bar, they got the river thing going on, and there's a bunch of fucking gay pride flags, you know, guys and girls on their boats dancing to the flag and all that. And God damn. Fucking people in the Alamo would be sick if they saw it. The hell the city was on.
I don't know, man. I got to say, gay people are the most fearless people. Like, even during COVID, like, when I drove around L.A. at night, it was empty. It was a ghost town. But then if you drive, like, by West Hollywood, every gay bar was hopping. Like, they didn't give a fuck. They were like, we're partying, dancing. We don't give a shit. Those people did not care.
Well, fuck, they survived. They survived AIDS. They survived AIDS and HIV and Hep B, you know, and C. So fuck, what the hell were they afraid of?
They didn't give a shit. Yeah, they're like, fuck it. We are not getting locked down. Doesn't matter. So anyway, so by the way, so what happened was in the fights.
So it took you a while to get a drink at the bar, huh?
100%. I had a great time. I was dancing with a Speedo. I was having a blast, dude. It was best. I was sucking cock left and right, dude. It was just loads everywhere. So Dustin Poirier lost to Islam. It was a good fight.
Oh, fuck.
Islam dominated. He finally he like tapped him with a Dar's choke. And then it was one of those fights where like Dustin said this might be it. And people were like crying and everyone was sad and giving him a hero's welcome. People were more upset about Dustin losing and retiring than Islam winning. You know, it was one of those things where
right.
I always kind of feel for the person who wins in that situation when like the legend retires. Cause I feel like that's yeah. the one who gets all the attention. Did that ever happen with you?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Fuck. I mean, nobody retired after, you know, in the ring when I fought him. You know, shit. And then I didn't retire in the ring. So, you know, that never happened. No.
Did you ever officially retire, Don, or no?
Yeah, I officially retired. Well, I guess not officially. I guess I just kind of faded away, right?
Yeah. I mean, and then Sean Strickland won against Paulo Costa. One judge had it for Costa.
Good.
It was, he outworked him. He outlanded him. Costa threw like 9 punches around. Strickland didn't look great, but he looked busy. And he moved forward the entire time. But I think that, you know, Strickland's
last. Who was that one judge?
I don't know. It was the worst judge I've ever seen. Like he gave every round to Costa when it was, I mean, there were some rounds where Strickland Jeez. Dropped Costa, like dropped him with a head kick. I mean, there was
no, really,
yeah. One judge just hated Sean Strickland. Like even Dana was like, this judge should never be working again. I don't understand how you could.
Yeah.
You should have to like every 6 months get your judges get it renewed or something because clearly these people have no idea what they're watching. No idea what they're watching.
Right.
Which sucked. And then Kevin Holland got dropped and came back with an armbar. He won his fight. And then it wasn't the greatest card. I got to be honest. It was exciting. It was in New Jersey, but it wasn't like one of those cards where you're like, oh, this was the best UFC. I think that, you know, and then Donald Trump got a standing ovation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I mean, and then almost every fighter who won came over and ran to Donald Trump afterwards to either get a picture or to like thank him or to give him a shout out. Like,
hell yeah.
Like every
fighter. He's saving the country. He's saving the USA. You know, I put him as number 3. You know, as president, you know, Washington, Lincoln, then Trump. You know, and if he wins this election, he'll save the country just like you know, just like Washington and Lincoln did.
I mean,
the countries we're about to lose our fucking country.
Also, there was also FDR. There was Harry Truman, Kennedy. I mean, there was some good presidents.
Well, Truman, yeah, not FDR, but Truman.
There's a lot of good presidents out there, you know. But I don't think one person can say.
Yeah, that. But they,
you know,
they didn't face what the fuck Trump's facing. I mean, we are taking a shit real fast. We're going down the shit drain real fast as a country.
I agree. I mean, this whole the whole Stormy Daniels case was insane. That was insane. I mean, you're putting the guy in
right
for, you know, falsifying a business record, which is a misdemeanor at most. It happened, what, 10 years ago after he was already president. It looks like they're just he paid her off and she took the money. She took the money and cashed it. And
right.
The thing makes no sense. And if he would have written, you know, money for porn star, he would have gotten screwed. And then if he doesn't write it, he gets screwed. He gets screwed either way. The whole thing was crazy. It's not right. They should, you know, if the Democrats are going to beat Trump, they should beat him in the ballot, not put the guy in jail or fuck him up.
They can't, though. They can't. That's why they realize that. They're not capable of it. You know, I mean, Biden is the worst fucking president in the history of the country, you know, or else Carter still is, you know. But I think Biden is because all the people he's letting in, you know, to destroy the country.
There's going to be
a terrorist. There's going to be an inside terrorist attack, you know, within the United States because of all the fucking people he let in.
I hope not. I mean, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, also, I mean, it might not just be in like the United States, though. Like, I know my wife wanted to go to the Olympics in France this year. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel safe at all taking my family to the Olympics. I feel like any mass gathering is going to be, you know, a target.
It'll be here in the States. It'll be here in the States in a couple of years, won't it?
Yeah, the Olympics, it should be. So also in the news, Conor McGregor.
Then why go to France?
Right. Well, I think we're going to go to Paris anyway, just on a vacation.
Oh, okay.
Conor McGregor and Chandler were supposed to have this big thing in they're supposed to have this big a press conference in Ireland. It was going to be huge, and they canceled it. McGregor said he did, so why, and now people are saying that they're worried this fight might not happen. And I don't know if it will happen, to be honest. I don't think McGregor really wants to fight anymore. I think he wants to be a star. He wants to be a celebrity. He wants to do movies. He wants to have fun. I don't know. Here's the article about.
He's already a star and a celebrity. He's the biggest star in MMA, you know. But he's already the biggest star and celebrity in MMA, and so he wants to make movies. I understand that because he's gotten older. You know, lost a couple steps, got a real terrible injury, you know, but he has the opportunity to make movies, make money. So why not? It'd be a smart move.
No, and I think Chandler's a perfect opponent for him because he'll go punch for punch with him. Chandler's the kind of guy that will go, all right, let's see how tough you are. So here's what happened. So the press conference got canceled. McGregor writes, in consultation with the UFC, today's press conference was canceled due to a series of obstacles outside of our control. I apologize to my Irish fans and fans around the world and for the inconvenience and appreciate all your passion and support. I can't wait to put on the greatest. And then it goes, the greatest show, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the greatest all-time show in the Octagon. And then Chandler goes, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King. So he then quoted Martin Luther King. And then Chandler left training camp in South Florida to head back to Tennessee. Don, what's going on here?
I don't know. It looks bad. I mean, fuck, I just got the phone call yesterday or the day before to go to the fight, you know, to be there. For filming. So I hope it still goes, you know, shit. I hope they don't blow it.
I mean, the thing is,
I'd like to watch that fight, especially in person.
The only way they could do it is to move up, is to put John Jones versus Aspinall, but then that fight's not going to happen. I mean, I don't know what they can do. They can't replace that fight. There's nobody big enough I mean, even like O'Malley, Marab is not.
No.
I mean, there's nobody they can do to replace that. They're, you know, it used to be.
What like, about what about the female?
Who? I mean,
the lioness. What?
I mean, she's retired. So Amanda Nunes.
Amanda, yeah.
I mean, she but she can't sell tickets like Conor McGregor.
Nobody can. Nobody can.
Nobody can.
So that's the wrong thing to say because nobody can. So you can't compare her to McGregor. You can't compare anybody.
Yeah.
You know, out there just selling tickets like McGregor.
Yeah, there's nobody. There's nobody that could sell tickets.
Listen to me. Listen to me defend fucking women fighting. What the fuck's going on here?
You know, it's crazy. And then Dana compared Connor's mental warfare to Muhammad Ali, which I think at one point in the Aldo fight and the Eddie Alvarez fight, but I feel like Ali did it over a long period of time and Connor hasn't, you know, he beat so many guys and he fought every month. I mean, they used to every 2 months, every 3 months. It's a different sport, you know, back then. It was better.
Well, he had a lot of ex-wives to pay for. He had to fight.
So, were you at the fight with Jamahal Hill and Alex Pereira? Were you at that fight?
Which fight was that? Was that the last one in Vegas?
It was the one where Alex Pereira, like Jamahal Hill, hit him with a groin shot, and then the ref kind of broke it up, and he said, no, let me keep fighting, and then he kicked him in the head, he hit him in the head, and it was over. It was over after that. So it was Jamahal Hill's,
right.
It was Jamahal Hill's first loss. So now he finally is saying stuff on social media, which, look, man, you know, you lost. It happens. It happens to everybody, the best of them. But he says he blasts Alex Pereira, UFC 300 knockout celebration, issues $20,000 challenge to fans talking shit. First of all, no fans that's going to fight you for $20,000. I don't even know what that even means. But he goes, he returned from a torn Achilles tendon to challenge Pereira for the light heavyweight. That was back in then. He delivered a brutal knockout in the opening round, proceeded with a viral meme celebration. He did this like weird celebration, right? So here's what he says. Now I haven't, this is what Jamahal Hill says. I haven't spoke on this, but I went to Brazil and dog walked your guy in one of the most one-sided ass whooping in championship history and showed nothing but respect. Okay. That was against Johnny Walker. I never celebrated over an opponent I beat and called out my fans for disrespecting Johnny Walker after I slept him. But because I show competitive fire, I was excited to be back after an injury that could have ended my career. Y'all think this is funny or cool. And then he tags Alex Pereira. You really set up a punch. You really set up a punch you couldn't get to without a weird, confusing moment. I guess that wasn't his fault, though. That was the ref. Well, he did say back up and did some weak shit. But it's okay because you will fight me again and my eyes won't leave you until your ass is as stiff as Izzy left you in Miami. He lost. He lost. He got knocked out. It sucks. It sucks. It's terrible. No one likes to lose. But I don't think saying anything after you got
knocked out. You know, it's kind of fucking. No, talking shit, using somebody else's victory over you to talk shit. That's really pathetic, you know?
Yeah, saying, well, Izzy knocked you out. Well, yeah, but that was Izzy. I mean, that's not you.
Yeah, that was you.
And look, you lost. It was once. Look, I agree with him on, like, making memes about people getting knocked out. I never do it. I personally never do it. I think it's kind of like, it's just, like, you, first of all, I didn't knock the guy out. I'm not posting a meme. Someone else did, number one. And also,
right.
He lost and he's laying there. He's also laying there lifeless. So it's not fun anymore to me. I'm not making fun of you after you lose and get knocked out. And but the fans are going to do that. You know fans are going to do that. But him talking shit and then saying
stuff. Yeah, but one of these days, one of these days somebody's gonna be laying their lifeless and it's gonna be true. Because this is a fucking dangerous sport.
Yeah, but I there's nothing I think he doesn't gain anything by talking shit now. He has 46,000 likes, so maybe I guess some people like that. But let your actions do the speaking. Let your actions do the speaking for you. There's no point now. You lost. And look, it's losing sucks. No one likes losing. I fucking hate losing. I hated losing a lot more than I like. What about you? I mean, Dom, when you lost a fight, how long did it take you to get over it?
Oh, I'm still not over my every loss. I'm miserable. I'm sick. Sick to death about it, man. Fuck.
I mean, how often do you think about somebody's losses?
Every fucking day, the loss goes through my mind, you know?
Which is ridiculous because you're a Hall of Famer and you're a two-time UFC champion. And you accomplished...
And I'm retired, yeah.
And you've accomplished so much and you beat the best guys in the world. I mean, the best guys in the world. And in your prime, there was only one guy that could beat
you,
Mark Coleman. And I still think you beat Mark Coleman.
Right.
I mean, out of 100 times, you probably beat him half the time.
I do too.
You know, he just...
Right. Absolutely.
He had the better night that night. I mean, you guys are really equally matched up. He was also bigger than you, right?
Yeah. But I was sick. I was sick that night. You know, the first time in Alabama, I was sick the whole day. You know, what was funny is the night before, you know, I was trying to get them telling, hey, you know, why am I fighting Gary Goodrich first round? That's bullshit, you know. And I told him, you know, I'm not feeling good. Let me pull out. And then I told her Davies that. And then I got a phone call from Bob Myrick saying, hey, we're going to change this fight, but no, it'll never happen again. I'm not going to have some goddamn athlete tell me I'll run my country, my company.
Yeah.
But the truth is, it was sick, you know? And when it came time to fight Mark, I was done. I mean, I had nothing left. And God bless him, man. I mean, you know, he came after me with everything like a fighter's supposed to do.
The fight that he got kicked in the head, knockout kicked, against Pete something, right?
Pete, yeah. Pete's last name. Pete, I can't remember.
It was the one in overtime, right? It was like
Pete Williams.
Yeah, Pete Williams.
Pete Williams.
Did you see that happening at all or no?
Yeah, I saw it happening, and I was like, "No, Mark, no, get up!" You know, because I wanted to be the one that beat him. You know?
No, I'm saying, like, did you think there was any universe where Pete Williams would knock out Mark Coleman?
No, fuck no. Fuck, nobody did. I think the good Lord's still scratching his head on that, you know?
It seemed like Mark was just tired. He was just gassed. Like, he had nothing left.
Mark is not known for his conditioning. Never has been.
Yeah. I mean, he was one of my favorite. Coleman was one of my favorite. He's still one of my favorite. He's definitely like a man's man.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a fucking hero, man. That guy's a walking hero for this planet, you know?
Who do you think would have won? Prime John Jones or Prime Mark Coleman at heavyweight?
Coleman, because he's just so damn bigger and he would have outpowered him, you know. I mean, Jones has got more weapons, more, you know, a lot more weapons than that. But once Coleman gets hold of you, gets you on the ground, you're fucking done for.
What about Prime Cain Velasquez versus Prime Mark Coleman?
Nah, that'd be a good fight. I'd still go with Mark because of his strength. You know? Mark's strength. Mark Coleman and Ken Shamrock, probably two of the strongest men walking the planet.
Now, how close were you to fighting Fedor?
I don't know. Never got offered that fight. Never got offered that fight. So I don't know.
That would have been an awesome fight. That guy, I still can't.
That would have been an awesome fight.
I still can't figure out how Fedor was able to reverse Kevin Randleman so easily and submit Randleman. That was
shocking, wasn't it? That was shocking. That was something nobody else on this planet could have done but Fedor.
Right? Like, nobody could have done that. I mean, nobody.
Right.
I miss Kevin Randleman, dude. That one of the funniest was Kevin Randleman begging me to roast him. And I was being very respectful because it's Kevin Randleman. And he got mad at me. You're not going to make fun of me? What? You can't roast me? I'm unroastable, motherfucker. Like, just talking shit. So finally, I held a contest to who could have the best Kevin Randleman. And everyone just went in on him, right? And then I get a phone call. Tap, tap. He tapped into the phone.
Kevin Randleman. I tell you what, Kevin Randleman was the greatest athlete to ever enter the ring. Most athletic, let's put it that way. Maybe not the greatest athlete, but the most athletic, you know, person, man or woman to enter the ring.
Did you ever train with him?
Like you said, no, never trained with him. But, you know, like you said, he had a great sense of humor, man. He's always laughing and smiling, you know, unless he was trying to kill you. He's still fucking there. Good time.
Always laughing, smiling. And he called me up. Like, he was like, hey, man, I'm working on my book. And you're going to be the first person to get it. I mean, he was he made everyone around him feel like they were the most important person in the room.
Feel good.
Yeah. Like, and he's the
right,
kind of.
Right.
I'll never forget when he was telling me when Randy beat Coleman and Tito Ortiz was talking shit. Like, talking shit from the crowd. He got so mad. It was at UFC 100. He ran out of his house and started running to the stadium to fight Tito Ortiz. And his wife was following him, going, get in the car. Get back in the house. Yelling at him while he was sprinting to the T-Mobile Arena or wherever it was at the time. And, like, he didn't even have a ticket. Like, I don't even know how he would have gotten on. But I would have loved to have seen it though. I mean, he hated Tito Ortiz.
Oh yeah.
Like he hated him.
Well, he'd have got in. He'd have got in. I mean, was the fight in Cleveland or Ohio?
No,
you know?
No, it was in Vegas.
He got in. He talked his way in.
It was in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have talked his way in. Shit.
That would have been awesome. Who do you think would have won, Tito or Kevin?
Kevin. You know, like I said, Kevin, he had ungodly strength. You know, Coleman did, Kevin did. You know, they trained together. Like I said, you know, and Kevin had great conditioning too. You know, I don't know why Mark never did. But yeah, Kevin was the most athletic person ever entered the octagon, and I think he would have destroyed Tito just because of all the qualities and the arsenal he had.
That I know who it's coming from. Okay,
I think.
Oh fuck!
I don't know what may have. I think he's taking a test. Some kind of.
Yeah, he's taking a urine test. And he's failing.
I remember Chuck Liddell telling me that that when Kevin Randleman fought Krokop, like right before the fight, they asked Chuck, they're like, hey man, him and Coleman and Randleman were like, what do we do tomorrow? Like, they had no game plan to fight Krokop. Like they flew in the day before. They're like, like, what should we do? And then Chuck was like, oh, got to be either all the way in or all the way out. Like, you have to either go, and they're like, oh, all right, that's a good plan. And then he knocked out Krokop. But, like, they had no. And then he was asking Chuck, before his fight with Fedor, Randleman was asking Liddell, how do you defend an ankle lock? Like 10 minutes before the fight, he was asking him how to defend an ankle lock.
Okay, thank you.
So we got Mayhem is here. Terrence McKinney is here. I can't see Terrence. Mayhem, he has a really funny story about when Baroni and Coleman, right? They were
you
and you kept putting them in like, what was it, triangles? Or
I kept ankle locking the shit out of them. And like, yeah, they were, oh my God, bro. Like that was that gym too. It was like normal people in the gym that day. And like, it was like regular, like jujitsu nerds, you know, like butt scooting jujitsu nerds having a heart attack because I kept ankle locking them and Baroni kept trying to coach him how to get out of the ankle lock. And it was, man, Coleman just lost his shit. I'm just trying to get out of the ankle lock. I'm trying. He's screaming and there's like little jiu-jitsu dudes shitting their pants. Oh yeah, that was a wild ass afternoon.
So wait, how are you getting into it? Like they were taking you down and then you were getting it from the bottom?
Nah, like we're starting from the bottom, you know. I wanted to test my skills against the ground and pound, you know. So every time that he was on the top position, I just like would shimmy under him and get into an ankle lock, you know. And yeah, I would get into an ankle lock and just like straight yank it up. You know, he had the boot on, so it was like impossible for him to get out. So yeah, I kept ankle locking him and he just started
looping. How do you know that story? What the hell?
I think you told me that story, but then you said they started fighting each other. You said they started fighting
each other. Yeah, yeah. They didn't start fighting each other, but like Coleman was frustrated.
He just starts screaming in Baroni's face and Baroni's screaming back. Like it seemed like they were going to fight. And everybody was like backing up and I was just standing right next to him. Like, ha, 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 this is funny.
Hey, Mayhem, did Don Fry ever tell you the story when Mark Kerr brought Brock Lesnar to the gym and Don Fry was like trying to teach Brock and then Mark Kerr got jealous and like they were fighting over Brock. Don Fry and Mark Kerr were fighting over who gets custody of Brock Lesnar.
Wow. You know, I mean, that definitely is that brings new words to custody battle, doesn't it?
Yo, what's up, people? I got to talk to you about Game Time. Okay. GameTime.co. All right. I'm telling you, I'm excited for the NBA playoffs. It's been the best season of basketball I can recall in a long time. Super pumped about it. And Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier, which is great. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to a playoff game? Now, prices on Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets tip off. I mean, normally you would think it would go up. Nope, going down. And with killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets. Trust me, you don't want to go there and all of a sudden you're behind. You can't see anything. That would suck. All right. Check out the Game Time app. I know there's a great bunch of NBA games coming up right now. Tonight, it's the Knicks. The Knicks are playing the Sixers. And the Knicks got this. Okay. And I would love to go to that game. Okay. That would be amazing. I'm from New York, so obviously. I got to go for the Knicks and the Lakers and pretty much whoever else is winning. All right. And I'm telling you, they got last minute deals. They got flash deals, zone deals, easy to find. You could buy MLB tickets and for every kind of event in your area. They got views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection. If you get fired, you can't make it. Something happens. All right. Now you could save up to 60% buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. All right. I know you guys love the theater, especially this audience, Broadway. You guys love Shakespeare. I'm sure we got some very Shakespeare people. All right. Now, and they also have in-app deals. They got zone deals. Save even more when you choose a section and let Game Time choose the seats. You got all-in pricing. This feature shows total upfront. No surprise. That's the worst when you go to other things and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a great deal. And you get there and it costs you an arm and a leg. So, take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Now download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's great. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. All right. Check it out. I'm telling you, this is it. This is what you want to do. Do it now. All right. And I'll also enjoy the rest of this podcast. Did you ever train with Mark Kerr, Mayhem?
No, I never even ran into him. I don't even think I ever met him, huh? Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. Yeah, he was a big star during my like entrance to MMA, like my landing on the scene. And so I really always wanted to run into him, but then, you know, it's just one of those things where I never did.
So this is how professional the show is, right? So Mayhem was at his parole officer getting tested. And then Terrence McKinney hits me up in the chat going, I'm at the dentist. This is how serious the show is, by the way.
Well, if you upgrade to like Zoom Pro, maybe we'd take it more serious.
Okay.
He goes, on God.
Off the toilet.
Yeah, he goes, on God, 2%. They scheduled yesterday. All right, Terrence, you want to just come on next week? Is that what you want to do?
What a shit show. That 19 members of the fucking chat are just losing their mind right now.
I think I can hear Terrence's doctor, by the way, his dentist.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I can hear him. Yeah, I can hear him getting a crown right now.
You see him?
No, I missed it.
You can see.
I'm in business right now. Okay.
No, I'm not getting anything.
So you
That's
can't see
awesome,
him?
Bro. So, dude, what a great podcast. No. Like, simultaneous. Wait a minute. His dentist is my parole officer. They're wearing the same gloves.
So Terrence McKinney, by the way, is a fighter in the UFC. He's a badass fighter. He's won like six
fights under eight seconds.
He also, in high school, he was the number one wrestler ranked in the country. And then he did acid. And then cops started tasing him. They started tasing him. He got tased three times. He was pronounced dead three times. And then he got his life together. He since then has a kid. He's kicking ass. His last fight, he got head kicked into oblivion. He's still at the dentist, but that's okay because he's going to come back. This guy always comes back. He's one of my favorite fighters ever, and he's a badass. But Mayhem, I was hoping you could convince this guy to stop striking. He's one of these wrestlers, Don, just like you. They fall in love with their striking and they just want to go punch for punch with whoever they fight. Am I right, Terrence? Can I get the video back?
Black Khabib is incoming, you guys. Black Khabib.
Black Khabib incoming. That's awesome. Yeah, I want to see that. You know, you could just drown guys with your damn takedown. I don't get it. Everybody wants to be a damn kickboxer these days. And, if you wrestle really well, what the hell? Wrestle.
I learned my lesson, man. Striking's 50-50, but when you got the Nick strength, they can't compete with that. So I'm going to grapple and strangle from here on out.
So now, Mayhem, you're coaching. How many wrestlers do you have that are falling into this bad habits of or just want to be good punchers?
Well, everybody. Yeah, it's a thing. There's something satisfying. I get it. I get why they do it. You know, and it's like the crowd gets behind you. You know, if you start striking and, you know, standing and banging. But I don't understand. I don't get it where, you know, maybe you can like drown the guy with takedowns, right? And then the striking becomes a little easier. You know, that's the strategy that I'm trying to employ with my wrestle heavy guys. You know, I got like a jiu-jitsu dude who's like got pretty good takedowns who he just wants to stand and strike. And, you know, he lost on the Dana White Contender Series because he just wanted to get in a kickboxing match, when the reality is he could have tapped that guy out in the first damn round. It's a weird thing that you have to, you know, overcome when you're a fighter in this day and age, because they really reward the striking. But if that's not like your strong suit in the opponent, there's no freaking reason, you know? It's just an ego thing, I guess. And look, we're all guilty of it a bit. You can't do the sport unless you have this mentality of I'm a badass, you know? And so it's easy to fall into that trap. I don't like it. I don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely an ego thing. I think I agree with him, but I'm ready to set my pride aside, and I got to get the full check at all costs. And God gave me the strength and made me an awesome grappler, so that's what I'm gonna do. Implement it all, and then it's gonna make the strikes available, like you said.
But also, man, he was knocking everyone out. His first fight was 7 seconds, and then his next fight was 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And then his next fight was 18 seconds. Yeah. So I mean, I could see why, you know. And then he was getting $50,000 bonus.
Well, change. you gotta learn how to do something in order to counter it. You know, you gotta know it to counter it.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't know don't let it overtake your style.
But so, it's tempting, you know. It's tempting to like get in there, like especially with all those knockouts, you know. Like it's, you know, different opponents require different skill sets, you know. And if you're going against a guy with a top level kickboxing, there's not much reason to play that game with him. Well, what are we looking at here? We're looking at your MMA junkie feed right now.
No, I'm looking at right now. I'm showing you some MMA headlines. Brittany Palmer is a lead in a new movie called Pony. She's where she's going to be a race car driver. So Brittany Palmer announced her retirement.
That's awesome.
Remember the Name, a feature film about a pair of sisters who overcome the odds as dirt modified racers, a form of racetrack competition in Northeast US. You know, Brittany Palmer and me got off to a rough start. Like I had no, this is back when she was in WEC. I didn't know who she was. And I was writing all the jokes at the MMA Awards. So I'm like, oh, you are? And she's like, I'm Brittany Palmer. I'm a WEC girl, blah, blah, blah. And then her two friends are with her. I'm like, oh, are those your backup dancers? Right? And they started dancing. They did start shimmying. and then we became friendly. And then I heard she hooked up with a couple fighters. I was roasting everyone. So I said that more guys pulled out of UFC whatever than Brittany Palmer, right? And then she got mad and blocked me. And then we became friends. Then she came to one of my shows. After my show, she was like, oh, I love your MMA jokes. She's like, this is years later. She's like, oh, I work for the UFC. And I was like, no, you don't. She's like, yeah, I'm Brittany Palmer. And I knew that like Brittany Palmer had, she had like a tattoo of like lips on her ass. And then I was like, oh, no, you're not. And then she's like, yeah, I am. And show me the lips. I'm like, oh shit, you really are, Brittany. I'm like, I'm Adam Hunter. You hate me. She's like, oh, I do hate you. And then we became friends again. So she happens to be a
I like friend. I like that you remind a girl that she hates you. Yeah. The classic Adam Hunter. That's like a
he does that to his wife. Right, he does that to his wife every day.
Dude, you're not even dude, I say
he reminds his wife every day.
I say the dumbest shit, dude. Like we went to like my kid's school like parent night, and she was like, oh, I wonder who what's name's parents mom is. And I'm like, oh, I think that's the one with the net with like the big ass. And then she's like, excuse me? I'm like, well, it was nice. It's not like big as it. She's like, and then we were looking through pictures. I'm like, oh, there she is. And she was like looking the other way, like in the background. So dude,
I know that ass.
I say the dumbest shit, bro. You have no idea how many things I've said where I'm like, why? As soon as, like, in my mind, I'm like, don't mention this. I have to mention it. Mayhem, you're kind of the same way, though, no?
Yeah, I mean, look, foot in the mouth, that's like my standard protocol, dog. Like, whatever. I don't even care anymore. I'm, like, getting to the age where I just, fuck it, say it. And then, you know, yeah, a lot of people get a little butt hurt. But what am I going to do?
Dude, nobody had a better speech when Don Fry was, I think he was, like, he was inducting Sakuraba into the UFC Hall of Fame, and he got drunk, and the entire speech is how he wanted to bang Miesha Tate, like at least like 45 times brought it up, and like Miesha was laughing her ass off, but the articles written afterwards were like, he goes, that's a fine piece of water, or I forgot what you were calling her, but it was the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life. Greatest speech of all time, Don, by the way.
Thanks. She didn't appreciate it. She didn't think it was that.
No, she was laughing. You guys took a picture afterwards, no?
All right. I don't know. No, not that night. I guess he walked out of the arena. You know, that was funny or something like that. And walked out of the arena.
Well, you know, hey, listen, you know, sometimes you can't get the whole crowd. Hey, all
right,
so now
that's right.
I used to say if one person, that's my problem. Like if one person laughs, doesn't laugh, that's the person I'm focused on usually. And that's my wife. All right. So this week, by the way, Jared Cannonier, who his nickname is the Killer Gorilla. He has taken on Amavov, Nasirin Amavov, who's 13-4. Do you guys know these guys?
No, I'm like completely uneducated. No. I know Cannonier is pretty badass. I don't know this other guy. Like, what the hell? Where did he fall out of some Turkish lady's match? I don't understand. I don't even know who that guy is.
He's 13-4. He
fell off a camel.
Exactly.
He's from Russia. He goes by the Russian Sniper. He beat Roman Dalits. He lost to Sean Strickland. He beat Joaquin Buckley. He's a good fighter. Good fighter. This should be a good fight. It's one of those. I think the fight's actually in. Where is it? It's in Louisville, Kentucky. Also, Dominic Reyes, who that guy is the guy that beat John Jones. Remember, he lost, but it was the closest fight. I think John's.
Yeah.
So he is fighting, and then he's lost three in a row since then. He's got knocked out three fights in a row since the John Jones fight. He lost to Ryan Spann, Jerry Provod. He lost to Jan Blachowicz. He's fighting Dustin Jacoby, who he fought in Glory. He lost to Alonzo Menfield. It's crazy how someone could fight so good against John Jones and lose his next three fights. You think that's a case of just like peaking or getting up for that one big fight?
Yeah, some guys rise up to the level of their competition, and like they have trouble with other, you know, I don't know. And also too, once there's like a 5-round fight in the books, for me as a coach, bro, if I have 25 minutes of you fighting, buddy, I can figure out a game plan to get to that my guy can win. You know, like if you have a lot of footage of a guy fighting, you can figure out how to beat him. And it sounds like those opponents figured it out. You know, there's something there. Even in that win against John Jones, I don't believe that he was like, I don't know, that I saw some glaring holes in his game that I was surprised that Jones didn't take advantage of, to be honest. You know, Jones kind of like skated through that fight where he was, you know, but honestly, that fight, I thought maybe Jones lost. I remember being shocked.
A lot of people thought that. Yeah. You know what, ma'am? I never even thought about the fact that the guy has 5 rounds. Now you and Fry had no footage of your opponents, right?
I mean, a lot of times it was like that. Yeah, yeah.
Don, like, did you watch Ken Shamrock
fights? Beginning, yeah.
Did you watch Ken Shamrock fights for?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Always. I read his book. I watched his fights. You know, I talked to people. You know about him.
So, you read your opponent's book?
Yeah, I know. What's that?
I can't believe you read his book before his fight. That's crazy.
What?
Yeah. What the hell? He had a guy sitting outside his house giving him notes.
Like George Patton when he beat the German. I read your book, you son of a bitch.
That's amazing. Also, Raul Rosas Jr., who the UFC signed him when he was 16, mayhem. The guy looks like a younger version of Bigfoot Silva. And he's fighting. I mean, this kid is he's young. I mean, they have him at 54 years old, but he's not. He's like 15 years old. He's fighting Ricky Turco. Yeah, I don't know what the MMA junkie's thinking with that. He's fighting Ricky Turcos, who came in second in the Ultimate Fighter. So this guy Rosas, everyone was talking about him, like he's the next big thing, right? Because he was like 15 when they signed him, and then he got his ass kicked in one of his fights. Like they realized that the guy pretty much only had grappling, And then his next two fights, he's knocking everyone out. Like, it was his next fight, but they brought in a guy though that I think was pretty much handmade for him. Like this guy that they just brought in to get him a win. But this should be an interesting fight. And then Julian Marquez is on the card. He has a podcast with a porn star. I forgot the girl, porn star's name. She's pretty hot though. So yeah. And then Andrea Lee, that's the one.
Can I get you?
Oh, Kendra, you have me. Kendra, fuck his name is. Oh, and then Andrea Lee, who's the one that when Don was in the hospital, wrote you a letter saying that you inspired me to become a fighter. And then she sent you a picture of her and Dan Severn by accident.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Plastic she's a sharp cookie, yeah.
She's on the card too. And then, yeah, so that's this Saturday. That's this Saturday. So these guys that want to come on the podcast, have you heard of car jitsu?
Oh yeah.
So it's jujitsu in a car, Don. And, they're saying it's like the next big thing.
Yeah. Well, my ex-girlfriend, so
wait, what was that, ma'am?
Yeah. My ex-girlfriend would always initiate contact when I was going down 70 miles an hour down the road. She would start grappling me in the middle of nightmare. We almost died. Oh my God.
So this is what it looks like.
My ex-wife was like that too. It took five lessons to get her set up in the car.
So this is what it looks like, Don. I want to come on the podcast next week.
All right.
The champion.
It's called car jitsu. It's a style of, it's jiu-jitsu that takes place inside a mid-sized sedan. And joining us this morning to explain more is the creator of car jitsu, Vic Mikiev. Good morning, Vic.
Hello.
Perfect. So, good to see you, buddy.
Hold on.
So where did the inspiration...
Turn it off!
Okay. So car jitsu, do you think this is the sport of the future, Mayhem?
I mean, absolutely. And once they get the children's division involved, you know, I want to see them get out of their little seats, you know, the little car seats. I don't know. I think it could be a big hit.
The car seat. Two kids in the car seat.
I feel like car MMA is a natural progression. You know, they're going to do jiu-jitsu first, right? And then, I mean, it really doesn't work without, like, coffee cups in the center and whatnot, you know, like make it a real car. That's all I'm saying. Like, I, you know what I mean? I want to be throwing.
I have it moving too. I need to be moving.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How can you not do it in a moving car at this stage, really? And are they allowed to use the seatbelt to choke each other? Is that
I think so. Yeah, the seatbelt. You could use the seatbelt. I feel like Mayhem, wow. you'd be great at this.
Yeah, listen, I have a lot of experience.
I've been doing that for years.
Yeah, like my ex, oh my God, that girl, if she would take over the women's division, I'm telling you, she was an excellent grappler. And she would drive like 120 miles an hour saying that she's going to kill us both. So, you know, it's very gentle. You have to be really, really gentle with your jiu-jitsu to not die.
Oh my God. What's the worst experience you ever had in a car, Don? Worst experience you ever had in a car?
The worst what?
Experience you ever had in a car?
Experience? Oh shit! Oh fuck! When I was wrestling in college, we went up to Madison, Wisconsin, for the National Greco Tournament, and I got beat out, you know. And that night, I went to a house party. Walked down the basement stairs, you know, had a few drinks and walked up with a big old fat girl. And next thing you know, we're getting into her Pinto or something. And, you know, over there, they've got the street and then you get a curb. You got 3 feet of grass. Then you got the sidewalk. Well, you know, open up the door. We both climbed in. And the door sunk into the grass, you know, about 5 inches. I couldn't close it. I'm like, we got to get out and go around. the other side to close the door. You know? That's how big this girl was.
Mayhem, you?
Well, I noticed a nondescript car following me at one point, and I went to Starbucks and got a coffee, and I was there with this lady who ran my company back in the day, and another one of my training partners, a small guy, and I noticed that car behind us. I was in the passenger seat. I look in the rear view. I'm like, what the hell is this guy following me for? I had a lot of enemies at this point, but I had recently been beefing with Orange County. Yeah, I know. I've been beefing with the Orange County Sheriff Department. So I figured, it must be them. Man, sure enough, as soon as we got over the bridge, a friggin' big ass Jeep, a Dodge Ram pulls in front of us, slams the brakes. And I was like, this is a setup. Because we were right on the bridge. And I looked behind, and it's cop cars. And it's like they pulled me over like El Chapo. Well, I had just had my coffee, so I was not putting it down. Put the coffee down! Put the coffee down! And I sat there and finished it while they had AR-15s trained on me. That was a pretty bad experience. But not car jitsu, though.
Well, one time, it was like Memorial Day, and it was like I was late for something, so I tried to I was driving, and everyone was trying to turn. Everyone was, I was like, 10 cars trying to make a left. And it was an asshole move. I tried to cut everyone on the right hand. Like, it was a dick move. I'll admit it. It was, 10 years ago. So I made a left, and then all of a sudden a car went right into me. Like, it was completely my fault. And every one of those cars was like gay guys, but like a gay party. So I'm up there. So I get out of the car and I'm like, no, fuck. Like, at first I was like, are you okay? People were okay. But like a line of gay people came up to me and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, well, you look like shit. And then fucking the whole snap. It was just like one insult after another of people lining
Happy
up.
Happy Pride. Well, it's your fault for ruining the gay pride.
You look like shit.
Yeah, and then the snap.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Mayhem, what do you got coming up?
Yoo-hoo.
Whatever, dude. I was just on the Jackson podcast. That's out now. So it's a lot of crazy stories and stuff. Me and Rampage got to talking about old times. And what else I got going on? Whatever, dude. Whatever. I'm on the internet. I've made him Miller and everything. So you'll see it.
And you, Don?
Well, like I said, I just got invited to 303, if it happens. Yeah, you just ruined my night, Fuck, thanks a lot. I'm gonna go back to Vegas for the World Jiu-Jitsu Tournament. Watch that. I got something else going. I can't remember.
Well, it's June 28th to July 4th, UFC Fight Week. That UFC 303, I got shows at the South Point and at the Strat. So hopefully I'll see you guys there. Thank you guys. Have a great week, guys. Love you guys.
All right, brother.